This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Peter Rosenberg!
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I'm one of the greatest broadcasters on planet Earth.
And I know that's hearsay here. It's
not hearsay, it's not heresy. Hearsay.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Oh, good evening, everyone. Filling in for one of the greatest broadcasters on planet Earth is Ty Butler, a guy you can find on Twitter at Ty D. Butler and on Instagram as well. And we will start tonight's ENN on this Thursday night by saying good evening to one Dan Grasso.
What the hell are you doing?
Dan.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Dan angry off the top. And though he's not here, he's always in our presence. We'll say good evening to Michael K.
Yeah, Michael's being mean. I don't like this part of Michael.
We just heard from him. So let's say good evening once again to the great Donald LaGreca.
I hope they lose.
And lastly, Peter, he's on a flight. Good evening, Peter. Safe travels, my friend.
Mm. Andrew Gunling is such a psychopath.
Dan, how about that? Don making a pick and then rooting against that pick 2 seconds later just because he wants to spite his co-host.
There is a lot of contrast there, and it's a little perplexing, but like it shouldn't have to come down to this. You know, and especially when you're this late in the season and you've reached a certain level like they have in the picks, right? They have the lead. They have a two-game lead. There shouldn't be all this animosity. It should just be like, get to the finish line and let's win this damn thing.
Well,
right?
You know what's happening here. As Dave alluded to, they had this big lead, tantamount to like, you know, a 3-1 series lead if you're in a best of seven. And now the wheels are starting to turn. You know, everything's falling off. So there's some controversy brewing in that locker room. Guys are pointing fingers. You know, the coaching staff is losing the room. So I think that's what's happening there.
And, you know, you're starting to see guys going their separate ways. It's almost like they're not committed to the finish
exactly.
line. Peter goes to L.A. I mean, it's just there's a lot happening. I'm worried about it. I'm worried about the home stretch here.
I'm worried about the home stretch. All right, let's start in the NFL. Some news came down this past hour. Two more Jets have been added to the COVID protocol list. One, Joe Flacco, who is unvaccinated, and Laurent Duvernay-Tardif. That brings the total number to 20 now for the New York Jets. That does not include, of course, their head coach, Robert Saleh, who is expected to conduct the virtual meeting tomorrow ahead of the matchup this Sunday, Jets versus the Jags. Mike LaFleur spoke to the media earlier, and he was asked how he think his quarterback, Zach Wilson, performed last week.
By no means perfect, obviously, but he played a good game. He got better in a number of areas. His tempo, his eyes, his ball placement was better because of what I just said, you know, with the tempo and eyes. Most importantly, this is something that obviously we harp on him. Hey, just be free and don't overanalyze, but that's got to come within. And he knows that, and he did. He competed his butt off. I certainly didn't call a good enough game. We didn't play good enough around him. But in terms of him competing, which is what you expect from him, because that's who he is. He's an ultimate competitor. But it's hard to do that when you're a little bit locked up and you're not playing as free as he wanted to. And I thought that's what you saw from him. He was playing free and he was competing his butt off. And he made a number of plays that there's too many breakdowns, and he made a number of plays to keep us in a situation where it wasn't catastrophic, you know. So I was pleased from that. Still a lot to learn from, but I think probably because he played so free, it's probably the game he's learned the most from, because he can just almost tape all that in.
So with three games left on the schedule for the Jets, I mentioned the Jags this Sunday, followed by the Bucks and the Bills. Dan, you mentioned this. Of course, you're doing the pre and post. You're watching every single snap. For me, it's important to end the season with some momentum, because the last thing, the absolute worst case scenario for the Jets is for you to feel like you just went through an entire year, learned nothing about your rookie quarterback. We've seen Josh Johnson, Mike White, and Joe Flacco to some degree look better in this offense, when they played over Zach Wilson. So you just got to see him end the season strong.
I want to see a full 60-minute game. Like I said earlier, right, we've seen flashes of it. You know, you saw a half against Philly. You saw a half against Miami. I want to see 60 minutes. You know, I don't care if it's against the Jaguars on Sunday. I don't care. They're an NFL team with NFL players, guys who are going out there and trying to make sure they have jobs locked down for next year. You know, Sheldon Rankins, who I talked to earlier today, you'll hear him on the pregame show on Sunday. Sheldon Rankins said, you know what, your resume is your tape, or the tape is your resume, rather. You know, and that's what he tells the young guys, and it's true. So I don't care who the opponent is, all right? If it happens against either the Bills or the Bucks, great. But if you're a Jet fan, you want to see Zach Wilson put a full 60-minute game together. And you know what? Now's the perfect time to start, if you ask me.
And it sounds harsh, but one could argue that he has been the single worst starting quarterback in all of football. And if you're a Jet fan, reasons to be concerned, sure. You took calls earlier on guys saying he should be traded or give up on him. That's way too premature. This guy's a rookie coming from BYU. It's going to take some time for him to get adjusted and acclimated to this system and the coaching staff, and the roster has been plagued by injuries and COVID. But like I said, you do want to see him end the season strong. Meanwhile, for the New York Giants, news came today. Wide receiver Kadarius Toney has been activated from the COVID-19 protocol
list.
There
you go.
So they will have another weapon for, will it be Jake Fromm? Will it be Mike Lennon on Sunday? But here's what we do know.
It's got to be Jake Fromm.
It's got to be Jake
Fromm. Got to be Jake Fromm. I mean, come on. Jake from State Fromm. Let's go.
That's what we want to see. We've seen enough of Mike Lennon to know he's not giving you the best opportunity to win games. And if you're Joe Judge, 10-20 so far through two seasons, you got to win some football games. But here's what we do know. Saquon Barkley, about the future of Daniel Jones, he's been encouraged. He's seen enough to know that this is the quarterback he wants going forward.
I love DJ. That's my dog, one of my best friends. Love the way he works. I think I've said it multiple times how I feel about that guy and his attitude, the way he works. And I know how special he is, and I know how special he's going to be. So I just don't know where the conversation comes up from, whether is he going to be this or that. You know, there's so many things that are out of our control. And, you know, as players, we can't focus on that. We just got to focus on coming to work every single day and getting better every single day. And that's all you can ask for a player, and that's all you can ask from a teammate. And Daniel Jones does that every single day.
You listen to Saquon, and if you're a Giants fan, you don't want your emotions to get in the way. But that's why you would want to keep him. He just sounds like a nice guy.
Yeah, but they both could be on a different team next year. But,
I mean, exactly.
You know what's funny, though? That's what he's going to say. And that, like he said, it's his guy. He's loyal to him. It's been his teammate for the last few years. But, I mean, it's such a bottom-line business, as you know, that in the blink of an eye, it could completely change. Like, I think back to the spring. Remember when Corey Davis signed with the Jets in March in free agency? And he does his introductory press conference. He's like, yeah, they told me Sam Darnold's going to be the quarterback. Fast forward a month later, Sam Darnold's on the Panthers, and Zach Wilson is his quarterback. So same thing might be happening to good old Saquon here with the Giants.
And what
who knows?
Else is Saquon supposed to? No, right. You know, DJ stinks, man. I can't wait for us to trade him. The Giants have the Eagles this Sunday, the Bears, and they finished the season against the Washington football team. So dreadful, I was going to say a dreadful season for both the New York football team. It's been a dreadful decade. Ooh. One playoff appearance, no playoff wins. Would you say three winning seasons, a bunch of
one boat trip.
One boat trip, one wide receiver warming up in negative 17-degree weather in Green Bay. One quarterback getting punched in the face. It's been a mess. The last decade for the Jets and Giants. We'll play a little game later of a Christmas wish list. But I did want to give an update on both the Jets and Giants. Speaking of the NFL protocol, I did find this interesting. Joe Burrow was asked about the Bengals doing well with COVID.
You know, we're doing a great job with our COVID protocols. fortunately, there's not a ton to do in Cincinnati. So it's not, you know, nobody's going out to clubs and bars and getting COVID every weekend. But we've been healthy.
So maybe that's the key. Go play in a city where there's nothing to do.
Hey, that's a good shout out to the restaurants and bars in Cincinnati. Joe Burrow basically saying they all have COVID. You know, he's like, nobody's going out to the restaurants and bars and getting COVID. Do you remember, was it last year? It must have been, I think, last year. Remember when the Mets went to Cincinnati to play the series against the Reds? And, you know, like when they were coming back from commercial, they were showing like B-roll of the ballpark or something. They were making those like skyline chili
yes,
dogs
do
and all
that.
And the chili,
yes.
Right? And then Gary Cohen on SNY like made a comment about it. He's like, oh my gosh, like who would ever eat that? And then like there was this just like mass upheaval of,
yes.
Oh gosh, hey, you know what? The community, they're proud of their chili and their digestive systems and all that stuff. I mean, good for them. You got to stand up for that stuff.
We're all so sensitive these days.
Do you think, here's the question I'll ask you, do you think that the Bengals fans, the greater Cincinnati community, they're going to gang up on Joe Burrow because he kind of made it seem as if there's nothing to do in the town?
So let me check this. Are the Bengals at home this Sunday? The Bengals will be
yes.
playing the Chiefs. It's a big game.
No, Baltimore.
Baltimore. I'm sorry. They will be hosting division rival Baltimore. Here's what's going to happen. He's going to get booed massively in the first half.
That would be something, would it not?
Massively.
If they boo him for a throwaway, I mean, he even chuckled. So, I mean, he was only kidding. But if they really boo, I mean, you can't do that. You can't boo
or
Joe Burrow.
We could do the, we could go to college route and, like, bench him for the first quarter. I think that is a legitimate consequence.
Who's going to bench him? The mayor of Cincinnati? You know that Zach Taylor ain't going to do it.
The mayor of Cincinnati, it's his jurisdiction. He calls Zach Taylor and he says he is not allowed to play for the first quarter.
The mayor of Cincinnati should be happy that Joe Burrow is actually putting some butts back in the seats in that building, because that franchise has been woebegone for basically two decades. So they're happy for all the excitement that Joe Burrow and the Bengals are bringing back to that town.
That is correct. Unfortunately, more COVID news. The Saints announced today that quarterbacks Taysom Hill and Trevor Siemian are headed to the COVID-19 reserve list. That is now 9 players who have entered protocol for New Orleans. Rookie Ian Book is in line to make his NFL debut against the Dolphins on Monday Night Football. I'm going to be honest. Ian Book could walk into this control room right now. I would not have a clue who that guy is.
But you know what? He'd be the one holding the football because he's the one playing quarterback on Monday night. It's just, like I said, it's and I get it. You know what I mean? Like, this virus, the COVID, nobody wants it to be around. Nobody, okay? But it does kind of reek a little bit that we're talking about meaningful games late in the season like this, and they might be decided by who's available and who's not available because of this virus. And it's got nothing to do with, like, normal football injuries. And it almost cheapens maybe some of these wins that these teams are getting.
And how about in college football, where yesterday it was announced we could have the national championship decided on forfeits? They're going to give, like, you... a 4-day window.
That?
Yeah.
Do you celebrate that if that happens? Like, are they going to have a party, like a parade on campus? And, like, are all the college students going to be, like, running, streaking in the street because their team won a forfeit national championship?
Yeah, it's tough. Because usually we'll have this conversation when the opposing team is dealing with injuries. Like, remember in 2015 with the Cavs and Warriors with no Kyrie and Kevin Love. Oh, that's an astral champ. But at least they actually played the games.
They played.
This would be a legitimate forfeit where the games are not being played because teams didn't have enough players to field a competitive roster.
It would be a joke. It would be. I mean, look, I hope it doesn't have to come to that, you know, but what are we, 2 weeks away from a national championship? I mean, we're a week away from the playoff. By the way, that time goes so fast.
It
like
does.
When the college football like regular season ends in like early December, late November, then you think, oh, the playoff is like a month away. Well, okay, here we are. It's a week away. Like, it's amazing how fast that time goes.
I did have to include this because I know it's near and dear to your heart.
Oh, yeah.
But it has been announced that Rutgers will replace Texas A&M as the opponent for Wake Forest in the TaxSlayer Gator Bowl. How about that? Rutgers posted a video on Twitter saying that the Scarlet Knights were going bowling. So that game against Wake Forest on December 31st at 11 a.m. on ESPN in Jacksonville.
So, like, I get it. And it feels cheap. Don't get me wrong. Will I root for them to win? Absolutely. But you know what's weird about the whole thing? And it's, again, it goes back to all the COVID, just the oddities of it all. This is now the most prestigious bowl game that the university in their history have ever been a part of. And remember, a couple of years, in 2006, they got as high as number 7 in the polls. Number 7. And that year, they only went to the Texas Bowl, which I don't even know if it still exists. But now you're telling me they're going to be in the Gator Bowl for a team that only won 5 games, was not even bowl eligible, but yet they play in the best bowl game that the school has ever played in. That's 2021 for you, I guess.
Well, it came down to this decision. There are guidelines in place for selecting 5 to 7 teams to fill this bowl opening.
5 and 7 teams. The records,
oh,
teams
five
that have 5 and 7 records.
5 and 7 teams.
Bowl ineligible teams, essentially.
And to me, this is where it gets a little nerdy. With the highest multi-year academic progress rate being the greatest determining factor.
That's correct. That is correct.
Oh, so that means so it Rutgers doesn't matter if finished you, first.
It doesn't matter if you play football, if you're good at football, but you know what? If you hit those books and you check the right boxes on those tests, you get to go to a great bowl game.
This is why we refer to them as student athletes, because they are students before anything else. What we're going to do here, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and you said the determining factor came down to, let's be real, the determining factor came down to, as far as like Rutgers even accepting the bowl invite, is because they said, we'll pay you X amount of millions of dollars for coming to this bowl game because of our sponsorship and everything. That's what the determining factor was. And they're like, we'll get on a plane and we'll see you in a week. That's what the factor was.
Go Rutgers.
Yep.
Go Dan Grasso. Go Chris Carter. All right, Dan. So Woj announced earlier that the NBA is nearing an agreement with the Players Association to lessen the quarantine period for COVID-positive players. In some testing cases, the current 10-day quarantine protocol could be shortened to clear players for return. This is similar to what the NFL did when the outbreak started happening a couple of weeks ago. For the Knicks, good news. Obi Toppin, RJ Barrett, Quentin Grimes all have cleared protocol, but tonight it will only be Grimes and Obi of that trio active because RJ Barrett is not going to play. So it looks like they might be running with the same starting lineup, but you'll hear about more of that on the pregame show with Pat O'Keefe. Here was Tom Thibodeau, though, addressing the media on the importance of beating Eastern Conference opponents ahead of you in the standings, including a team like the Washington Wizards, who they will be playing in against tonight.
Yeah, anyway, it can't change. You just lock into who's in front of you. So be locked in. Obviously, it's important to play well at home, and we know we'll be testing, and we have to be ready to go. And the same thing's going to winning, to play strong on both sides of the ball.
So the Knicks will be playing a team without Bradley Beal. He has entered health and safety protocols, joining KCP. An important stretch for the Knicks, Dan. These are quote-unquote winnable games. You got the Wizards, Hawks, Wolves, Pistons, Thunder in your next 4 games, followed by the Raptors, Pacers, Celtics twice, Spurs, Mavs, Hawks, Hornets, and Wolves. All of these games are either all of these teams are either at 500 or below 500.
Except Washington. That's
Except
the
Washington
only one.
Tonight. That's the only
so
team
think
that's
about
above
that.
500.
Right? Think about that. The next month, which is 15 games, they're playing one team with a winning record, and that's tonight, who doesn't have their best player.
Yep.
And Bradley Beal. And it's important not only because, you know, what's going to happen with the rest of your season, but, I mean, if you just want to narrow it down a little bit more, you know, February is going to be here before you know it, which means trade deadline, which means what is this team going to do? Because I think that stretch the next month is going to dictate a little bit of what their plans are. Because if they think, all right, we should be buyers, like we can actually get back into this thing and move up the East standings, or do they think about selling if they stumble a little bit during those 15 games? Remember, last year at the trade deadline, they didn't do anything. You know, they stood pat, which I was okay with, given where they were in terms of building the program. Now, it turned out that, you know, they could have used maybe a piece or two against Atlanta once the playoffs rolled around, but I didn't have that big of a problem with it. These are critical games, like you said, for the next month.
The Knicks started 5-1. They've lost now 16 of their next 23 games. They're 3 games under 500 entering this contest tonight. Good news for the Nets. James Harden has cleared health and safety protocol along with Paul Millsap and Javon Carter. So they should be able to play if that game happens on Christmas Day against the Lakers. That is,
oh, it's going to happen.
ABC, ESPN. So you think it's going to happen?
They're not going to move those ABC games anything, like any way, shape, or form. They're not moving those games. Remember, the report was a couple days ago that they kind of let the cat out of the bag, that they would possibly consider
like flexing the games.
Moving the game times of the other ones. So like the Knick game, the Dallas-Utah game, but not those ABC ones, which are on national TV. Those are the ones that they make sure, boom, you know, that's what people need to tune in to watch. So even if some of the if these clubs can't field a team, they'll literally pick dudes like out of the stands,
get
right,
and put them in uniform. Involved.
Yeah, that's
get
what
some
they're doing.
Fans involved. That would be funny. Nash did say today that Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving are still among the seven in the protocols, and they are not expected to be ready in time to play. But I did want to get to this Christmas wish list. Let's have some fun. Wanted to go through the local teams. And you guys, you and Anthony, tell me what you think should be at the top of that wish list. Let's start with the New York Knicks. My idea is that you need to trade for a superstar. If you're going to get to that next level, you've got to be able to go against the likes of Kevin Durant and Giannis and Joel Embiid and Jimmy Butler. You need that superstar. What do you guys think?
To take it to the next level?
Top of the wish, the Christmas wish list.
Let's put it this way. I'll answer your question with a question. Who's the Knicks' best player right now?
Their best player right now is Julius Randle.
Is Julius Randle proven to be a number one game-changing, franchise-changing type dude?
He has not.
Then we answer the question.
Yeah, I know the guys did this in the morning. Superstar is definitely up there. For me, it's also just point guard. I mean, this team needs a point guard, a legit starting point guard. Clearly, Kemba, maybe in Tom Thibodeau's better graces now, but I would say that a point guard is probably on the top of the list.
A guy who can take the load off of Randle, because maybe there is an argument that he could be a much better, much more efficient player if there is someone to run the
offense. But I will say this.
If there's a quarterback on that offense.
Well, okay, and putting two and two together, I would not even go anywhere near our friend in Philadelphia.
Oh, Ben Simmons. That
would
seems
not,
to be a hot commodity.
Would you?
No, if I'm the Knicks, I would not do that.
Anthony, would you?
I would.
Why?
Good question. I'm going to be honest with you. I was editing something, so I didn't get a chance to hear your answer.
It's a fair answer. It's an important answer.
It really
it's an
is.
Honest one.
This is a situation.
Ben Simmons, would you go after him?
No. Because
it
look,
seems like they're interested, though. So actually, I kind of would say I would. It seems like they would be interested in that. Now, does take them to the next level? No. And that would be a very Knicks move.
But doesn't, again, we already know now enough about the player, enough about the person, to where if he's, you know, experiencing all of these things that he was going, and before the declaration that he was having these, you know, mental problems or whatever it was, and, you know, mental health, and I'm all for it, I get it. But before that, if there was still so much drama involved with his game, and so on and so forth, in Philadelphia, which could be a pretty tough market to play in, what do you think is going to happen here?
Yeah.
It could be a disaster.
I mean, it's not
You're
like,
right.
Dude, it's not like we're sending them out to, like, Indiana or something where, like, everybody loves you. You know what I mean? And, like, they love their team. Like, here, it's either you do it or you get the heck out of town. That would be a nightmare bringing this guy to New York. A nightmare.
Especially because this is a fan base that has grown frustrated. So now there's an expectation for results, and you're coming in with that reputation. So I think if you're a contender like the Lakers or the Nets, that would make more sense. But for the Knicks, no. Dame Lillard, that's the guy you want. How about for the Nets? I think on the wish list, it's, you got to win the title. And in order to win the title, just stay healthy. Have your big three stay healthy.
It's title or bust. I agree. Because, look, if you could make a case that if Kevin Durant's shoe size was a half a size smaller,
yep,
they might have won a championship last year.
That is true.
Right? Like, if that you know, toe on the line at the end of regulation in Game 7, if that's a three, they win the series, they might win the whole damn thing. So, yeah, I say good health. That's probably it.
All right, what do we got for the Yankees? Top of the wish list.
Guys, teach the hitters to hit curveball.
Teach the hitters.
That's up there. Brian was talking about that. He said that's up there. So we got in touch with him, said that's up there.
I actually think that the Yankees, prior to hearing that phone call earlier, had no idea, like, that should have been that, you know, should have been something they addressed, hitting curveballs. I think that's the first time they thought about hitting curveballs.
Well, let's just call it what it is from Brian Cashman, improving the roster. And that's a broad subject, but he said that they had to improve in multiple areas. Now, it doesn't look like they're going to improve at catcher. Gary Sanchez is the guy, it seems like. Are they going to go out and get one of the shortstops that are still on the market?
Yes.
So that's one.
Center field, got to address that situation. Yeah,
I know Aaron Hicks hitting great in winter ball, but that never really translates when you're not playing in
when
May.
When is Aaron Hicks going to land on the injured list again? We should get an office pool going. Is that going to be April, May? When is it going to happen? But you guys haven't mentioned it yet, and I still think this is even more important than shortstop. How about another starting pitcher?
Yeah, pitching. That's why I just said overall improve, because it's there. It's all there.
I've been saying since last year, you got to get somebody else to help take this pressure off Gerrit Cole. Who's your number two?
You don't have one.
The Mets went out there, and I mean, I know, look, I get it, but Mets already had the best pitcher in baseball on their team. You know what? We're going to go out there and now get either the second or third best pitcher in baseball.
How about that, by the way? Max Scherzer might not start on opening day. Like, has that ever – I wonder if that's ever – like, since he's become Max Scherzer, I'd have to go back and look at, you know, when that trajectory hit, like, the peak. Has he ever not started on opening day and it not been because of injury?
I'm trying to think. Maybe in Detroit, Verlander was still in Detroit, so that was still Verlander's team. I don't know. Did Strasburg get an opening day start in D.C. for one of those years?
But it's a great problem to have if you're the Mets.
Absolutely. You can never have too much good starting pitching. But Yankees need that. And, I mean, I don't know what Severino is. Severino hasn't pitched a full season in how many years? Jordan Montgomery sure as hell ain't a number two starter. Mm. They need to go out and get – and you know what? Call up the Cincinnati Reds. They want to slash payroll. See if you can get Luis Castillo. Call up the Oakland A's. Oakland is in a state of upheaval right now. They want to trim as much as possible. See if you can get a Chris Bassett off their hands. Maybe a Frankie Montas. You want to say Sean Manaea. You've got prospects. Get some of these proven starting pitchers out there instead of the guys you're trotting out there every so often.
I thought you were going to say bring Sonny Gray back. He's had a resurgence since he left.
Somebody brought that up, and I was like, haven't we been there and done that? He can't pitch in New York.
He can't do it. For your New York Mets, who haven't won a playoff game, and when next season starts, it will be 7 years since they last won a playoff game. What's at the top of that wish list?
I think it's easy.
What's that?
I think it's really easy. And the lockout. The only thing that is a problem for this team right now is the lockout, because Steve Cohen clearly can spend as much money as he wants and is willing to do so. The only thing that we had when we had Buck Showalter earlier this week on the Michael Kay Show, he said the only thing that's been unfortunate is he can't talk to the players. Now, Buck's a veteran manager. He's been there before. That's not that big of a deal, but I'm sure he'd love to be able to speak to his players and establish a rapport with them, I don't know, before February. Now, Jeff Passan tweeted out earlier today, you know, these sides clearly aren't going to be talking until the new year starts. Well, congratulations, guys. I'm sure that you've been very busy, you know, with the holiday coming up. You want to take some time with the family. But end this lockout. That's the only thing that's standing in the way of this Mets team taking the next step, is just having that chemistry with so many new faces and new pieces coming in.
And they may not be done. Like, there's rumblings that Chris Bryant's still out there.
Yeah.
They might kick the tires. Like, Steve Cohen doesn't care. Steve Cohen doesn't care if he shoots past the luxury tax. It doesn't matter to him. This is play money to him. You know, it's nice to say that, like, tens of millions of dollars means nothing to an individual, but to him, that is the case. In all honesty, though, an area of need I think that they still could probably address is the bullpen. I'm not 100% sold on that. And remember, Aaron Loop up and went to the West Coast. He was invaluable for them last year. Yeah. Not just because he was a lefty, but he might have been their best reliever, period. Yeah. That's a guy they have to replace.
All right, quickly, the last four teams. Let's go through football, the Jets and the Giants. I say next year on the wish list, make the playoffs. And I know it sounds aggressive, but when you've got 11 straight postseason DNPs,
we've now added a playoff spot.
We've added an extra play. You could argue it's never been easier to make the playoffs. So can we have, like you said, meaningful December games?
Do you get a Christmas wish list? You weren't good this year. So aren't you on the naughty list? Don't you just get Cole?
The fans get the wish list.
Oh, well, yeah, they've done
it. You know how fun it is as a fan when you get to, like, these holidays late in the year, like starting with Thanksgiving, and your football team is still in the conversation? Like, that's fun. And then, like, once you get to December and you get to, like, Christmas and everything, like, and you're playing meaningful games, like, in the last couple of weeks, like, that's fun. And for the fans in this town, they haven't experienced that in, like, forever. You know, it's fun to watch your team. There's still things to gauge from it, as we talked about earlier. But, like, to have the games actually signify something, this town needs that in a big-time way.
For the Giants, I think it's fire everyone, then start over. I don't think you can make any case for Joe Judge being able to retain his job. 10-20, The defense, a mess. The offense, a mess. Special teams, nothing to write home about. And the team is undisciplined. They just can't win games. So
show signs that things are changing. That's the wish. There. Show signs things are changing.
When you've been as bad as they've been for the last however many years, if you woke up one morning and found out that they did decide to clean house, how can you as a fan object to any of that?
You can't.
Rangers,
Islanders, what do we got, guys?
Well, the Rangers have been pretty good, Dan, but I think you'd agree with me. The wish list is to get Mika back to an elite level.
Scoring more goals.
And honestly, and I take that back probably because you'd probably be split between the fan base. Make sure Igor Shesterkin's healthy. That's number one.
I was going to say that.
Because he's a Vezina candidate and could win the Vezina if he's healthy to close out this year. And getting Mika back to where he is, because otherwise this has been a pretty successful season for the Rangers.
And you want to continue to see Lafreniere develop. I think that's probably third on the list. You know,
yeah, Lafreniere, Kako, those two, sure.
I think you hit it right on the head. I think that's where you go right now. Islanders, I think the wish list is, can we hit a restart to the season?
Yeah, just get healthy. Have everybody that's supposed to be, and Matt Barzal's missing apparently. Did you hear about that, Dan?
Yep.
He's missing, so let's find him. That's important. Let's find where Matt Barzal is. That's number one. Number two is get everybody healthy coming out of this break, and hopefully they can establish what they were supposed to be, which is an Eastern Conference contender.
Right. And the Devils, let's throw the Devils in there. How about just some progress? Like, you know, like it's only been about, the Devils are like the New York football
team. Might be asking for a new coach, right?
It's been like forever. Like just something to show that this team is actually improving.
Something to show for it. So there you have it. Your New York sports / New Jersey sports Christmas wish list. That'll do it for tonight's CNN. That was fun. Great
that was
time
good.
Had by all.
Got that was to a good lot two-parter. Of stuff. By Ty Butler there on the ENN. Tremendous, tremendous job by you and everybody involved.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. The ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.